Haribo say hope all is good. Today's daf is Yavamos daf Yud Zayin. We have a tremendous chus of finishing the first parak today, and then we're going to start the second parak, which will take us back to one of the topics that we had in the first Mishnah that we started the Masechta with. But before we get there, right, we've been talking about whether we accept Gerim from certain areas or for certain groups or nations or whatever. Right, again, the concern would be that if those people are actually Mamzerim and not Goyim, right, so obviously that would be a big problem because, you know, once they quote-unquote convert, so then any child then produced would be a Mamzer as well, and that would be a big issue. So we're here four lines up. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Asi. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Asi that Oved Kochavim Shekidish Bizman Azeh Choshishen LeKidushin, a guy that is Mekadesh, a woman nowadays, a Jewish woman obviously, we're concerned that maybe this is actually Kiddushin because Shema Me'asar Zashvatimu, because maybe he is from the 10 tribes. Now, what does that mean? So that doesn't mean exactly what it sounds like. If you look at Rashi, right, if you look, shit, meaning not that he's descended from the 10 tribes specifically, well, sort of, as we'll see in a second. Right? We always know that, you know, Jewish descent comes from the mother. There is a Shita, and this is what Rashi explains over here, the Rashi Shita is that Jewish descent can also come from the father. Right, or potentially comes from the father. If you look at Rashi, Me'asar Zashvatimu, Shanisu Ovdos Kochavim, right, again, maybe these 10 tribes, again, they were exiled by Sancheirith, right? Obviously, we don't know who they were. They were settled in different places. Right? So they were exiled, and then they married a guy. Vikasafar, apparently, Rasi is holding the Ovedes Kochavim, a female guy, Sheyoldim Yisrael, that has a kid with a Jew. So Havlad Mamzer, not that the kid is a guy, like we normally assume, but that the kid is a Mamzer. Vikosha, the Kiddushim Mamzer, we're concerned that maybe this guy's a Jew, right? And therefore, and he's a Mamzer, and therefore it's technically a good Kiddushin, but that, it'd be a big issue. Right? The Gemara says, one second, but how do you know? Like, it's a suffix where these people are from. Who are these people? You have a random dude who's Mekadesh, a woman, right? He's a guy, right? You think that maybe he's a Jewish mamzer. We have a concept where we have a suffix. We don't know where something comes from. We assume that the rove, right, you go by the majority. Right? The majority are proper goyim, right? Not Jews from the Seret Shvatim, from the 10 tribes. So the Quran says, yeah, okay, beduchti the kvi. So Rav Asi is talking about a place where they are kavua, where they are permanent. Meaning, if you look at Rashi, right, there's another way of resolving a suffix. Whenever you have a suffix by something that is permanent, so then that's something kavua, something that doesn't move, something that's fixed. Meaning these people stay in that same place. Right, so then we do the suffix kemechta al mechta. We assume that it's 50-50. Right, so in that case, then we're concerned that maybe, right, that this person is such a descendant. The Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Barkana Vaynachem Bechlach Uvachavur V'chaber Nahar Gozen V'Ari Madai. Right, those are places where Sancheirith put the 10 tribes. Chlach is Chalzon. Chavur is Chadiv. Nahar Gozan is, that's Ginza, Zu Ginzak. Vare Madai, right, Zu Chamdan v'Chavrosea, that's Chamdan and the suburbs. Or Amri Lan, some people say Zu Nihar v'Chavrosea, okay, fine, maybe it's Nihar and its suburbs. Chavrosea, man, what are the suburbs? So Amri Shmuel, Krach, Moshe, Chidke, v'Donkia. Okay, those are the suburbs. Amri Yochanan v'Kulon, the Puzzle. And all of them, right, are Puzzle. Right, and they are descended, again, they are according to Rabbi Yochanan, right, again, he's meaning, so just before we get to Rabbi Yochanan, so that's the Kavua places, meaning if any from those places, we have to treat, there's a Kiddushin from there, so that's Rabbi Asi is saying that that's Kavua, and therefore Mechza al Mechza, we have a suffix, maybe we're going to treat them like a mamzer. Rabbi Yochanan then says, Kulan Lepsul, all of them are apostle, what does that mean? So the Garashi, Ruba Mamzerim, Shenitmu, and it's not Tame, but it means that they were, what's it called, they were hidden. They're mamzerim mamish, meaning that ad kedikach. But if you keep on looking, right, there's a shvatim beodos kochavu v'neim harein kisraelim v'noi b'misra mamzerus because lo nizru v'nisu zachoso obito. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees about those places and says not because they married goyim, but because they lived amongst the goyim and therefore they fell to their evil ways and they married their sisters. So not only that, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees that they could be goyim, they're mamzerim mamish in the sense that they were descended from unions of, you know, brother, sister, etc., etc. Okay, either way. Ki kamrisa kemedu Shmuel, when they said this in front of Shmuel, so again, Rav Yehuda, right, was a Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel. So he said in the name of Rav Asi, and he said it in front of Shmuel, and I'm released, and Shmuel said to him, right, or said to me, really, Rav Yehuda is telling the story. Right, so, bincha haba He said, no, no, no. A child that comes from a Jewish woman is called a Jew. That's called bincha. Right, ela bina. But a child that comes from a non-Jewish woman, that's called her daughter. Meaning, he basically just attacked Ravasi, so that's not how we paskin. I mean, that we don't paskin that a Jew who comes from a non-Jewish woman, right, a child that comes from a non-Jewish woman is a Jew. We hold that a child that comes from a non-Jewish woman is a non-Jew. So therefore, you don't have to worry about kiddushin, right? If a non-Jew tries to marry a Jewish woman, right, gives her a ring, says, "Hey, I'm a kiddushinly," right? We're not concerned for that. Right? So you don't have to worry. These people are mamzerim. We don't paskin that a child that comes from a non-Jewish woman and a Jewish man is actually Jewish. Ayvayika bonos. The Gemara says, "Well, one second. That's fine because you know if you assume that all the people who were exiled were men, but the 10 tribes, right, were everybody. Where's everybody? What about the women from the 10 tribes, right, who were exiled?" Vamra Avina Shmaminas, or Avina said, we see from here that Ben Bitcha Haba Min Ovi Kochavim Kari Bitcha. Again, the women are Jewish, right? If those children would have children, even if they'd be, you know, taken by non-Jewish men, so those kids would be Jewish. So Gemiri, apparently, we have a Mesorah, we have a tradition, and not Halacha Moshe Sinai, like the word Gemiri usually implies, but we have a tradition, the Binta, Dahu Dara Itzdarui Itzdaru, that the children of that generation, meaning the women, right, made themselves not able to have kids, whether they were they did it to themselves, or they were damaged, or they were injured, or whatever, because of the galus. So basically, that seems to imply that the 10 tribes were lost, right? The Gamri. Right? So okay, so it could be that that's true. Could be that it means a little differently, as the Gemara says. Now you get the Amri. Some people say Kemri, and Kemet Shmuel, that's not exactly what they said. They said Amr lo zozu mishamat shasom over the kacham gemurim, that they went and they made them non-Jews. Meaning, they paskin that they would be Jews, d'rabbanan, meaning that they would lose their status, right, of Jews. Meaning, enichrami, that midrabbanan, but really midaraisa, right, taka would be Jewish. Where, just one second, where does it see that? One second. Right, meaning that, yeah, meaning they made it in Xerah, meaning that, so we wouldn't have any types of issues. So Hashem, as Moses says, Hashem, Bagdu, Kibanim, Zarim, Yaladu, right, again, that they, you know, betrayed a Kosh Baruch, etc., right, again, apparently they made this sort of Xerah, deciding that they would be non-Jews, right, and unclear exactly how that works, and Pasha says that was a one-time thing, but okay, fine, let's go by two. Yosef, Rav Yosef, Achose, Achore, de Rav Kahana. Rav Yosef was sitting behind Rav Kahana. Yosef, Rav Kahana, Kameh, de Rav Yehuda, Yosef, Gomer. So he was sitting in front of Rav Yehuda, and he said that Asid in Yisrael, Davide, Yom Atava, Ki Chorve, Tarmud. But the Jews are going to make a Yom Tif when Tarmud is destroyed. And again, as Rashi said, we pointed out yesterday that they were Pashas, that they were Mamzerim, and they would marry Jewish women who didn't realize they were Mamzerim. And that was obviously, you know, very terrible when they found out, etc. But basically, right, the Gemara Yom Tov when Tarmud is destroyed. The Gemara says, "Iva Acharif." Well, wasn't it destroyed already? So the Gemara says, "No, he Tamud Havoi." No, Tamud was destroyed, not Tarmud, but Tamud was destroyed. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi says, "Hanu Tarmud, Hanu Tamud." Actually, those are the same cities, but Akfuli Yehuda Mekafel. But there were two of them, meaning that Acharif Mehaygisa Osiv Mehaygisa, but he Acharif Mehaygisa Osiv Mehaygisa. Meaning it was a dual city. If it was destroyed on one side, let's say, I don't know, side of a river, but if one side was destroyed, they would rebuild it on the other side. If it was be rebuilt on one side, it would be, if it was destroyed on the other side, they would rebuild it on the first side. Meaning it was two sides. Like, just for example, if you we traveled once to Budapest, so underratedly, Budapest is two cities, Buda and Pest, so, or Pest, as they pronounce it. So that's the same idea over here, that they basically had two sides of one city, and not it wasn't entirely destroyed, and when it will be destroyed, so then people will celebrate. Yosef Rav Hamnuna came to Ula, Vakahavi Bishmaitza. So, again, the Rav Hamnuna was sitting by Ula, he was learning, and Amar, Ula said to him, Magavra, Magavra. So, what a guy. I mean, how geschmack is this guy, I mean, that he's learning with? He enjoys his chavrus. But, Ilav de Harpanya Maase, right? If only he didn't come from Harpanya. Again, Harpanya was, they were also another one of those cities that people thought that there could have been Mazerim. So, Ichsif, so Rav Hamnuna got upset, because that's what Ula was saying, right? Can you imagine? Rav Hamnuna says, such a great chavrus. If only he wasn't a mamzer. So I'm realizing, ooh, this is back to him. No. Kesef Gilgul to Hakal Yavas. But he said, no. You're not from there. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you. Because where do you pay your taxes? So I'm realizing, this is back to him. The Fumnara. Boy, that's where I pay my taxes. To Fumnara. So I'm realizing, Fumnara. No, you're from Pumnara. You're not from what was it? From Harpanya. Right? You don't have to worry about your lineage. My Harpanya, what is this? Amar Avizera. Harsha Kol Ponimbo. It's a mountain that everybody turns to. Again, apparently people of Mamzerim would go over there, right, if you know, they couldn't find anybody to marry, so they would go over there, that everybody knew that those people were messed over, you could marry over there. But Masnisa Tana, the Mishnah said, Kol She'ein Makir Mishpachto V'Shivto Nifne L'Sham, anybody who didn't know which Shevet they were from, any which family they went to, so they would go over there to get married. Amar Rav, Rav says, V'ya Miku Mish'ol, and that's deeper than Sha'ol. Sha'ol is usually Gehenim, that's a reference to Gehenim. Shemar Spazik says, Mi'ad Sha'ol Efdem Mimavas Egalim. Right, in terms of Gehenna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he's going to redeem them. Right, he's going to redeem the sinners from death, etc. But if someone's a mamzer, right, there's nothing you can do. Right, in a certain sense, right, there's nothing you can do about that, and it even passes on, right, to your kids, etc., etc. Psule de harpanya mishum psule demeshan. Right, the people who were psulim, the people who were mamzerim in Harpanya, were from the psulim in Meshan. Again, that's because that's where the mamzerim came from. Right, psulim de Meshan, mishum psulim de Tarmod. They came. The Meshan ones came from Tarmod. Psulim de Tarmod, mishum de Shlomo. As we said before, right, the psulim from Tarmod, the mamzerim from Tarmod came from Davde Shlomo, again, the who married with Jewish women, right? That was, again, we mentioned before, is inappropriate, ended up with Mamzerus. By any time, inches, what people say, Kaba Rabba Vekabazuta, Migandar Veozil Le Shol. Both a big Kav and a small Kav, right? You end up in Shol, you end up in Gehenim, Umishol Tarma the Meshon, Umishon La Panya, right? Again, and that's kind of, things move forward until you travel from one city to the next, and you end up in this place, Harpanya, where they had all, right, the odds were that everybody in there was a Mamzer. Okay, either way, Hadron Allah Chamisha, straight Nashim, and we start the second parak. Now, Ketzad Eishes Achiv Shalo Haya Bo'olamo. If you remember back in our Mishnah, right, we said, right, this case, that again, that was the case where you have Eishes Achiv Shalo Haya Bo'olamo, that he wasn't alive at the time, right, of, well, the Mishnah will explain it, but he wasn't alive at the time when the first brother lost his wife, passed away, and the wife felt it. Again, Reuven, Levi, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven passes away, Reuven's wife falls to Shimon, right, and then Levi is born. Again, obviously, we're going to have to play with the timeline a little bit, but that's basically the concept. So that Levi was not alive when Reuven passed away. And so, Ketzav, how does that work? So, Shnei Achen Umeis Echamehem. Again, there are two brothers, again, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven dies, and then Levi is born. And then, Yibim Asheni Eishes Achiv, and then Shimon marries Reuven's wife. And then Umeis, and then Shimon dies. So Shimon, the original wife, Reuven's original wife, now falls to Levi, but Levi was not alive, right, when Reuven was. Okay, so Harishonas, I mean, so that wife, so that woman, right, Yotza Mishim Eishes Achiv. So that is no good because she is the wife of Reuven, of his brother. I mean, Levi doesn't have to do anything, right? No Libim, no Chalitza, he's not allowed to. That's Eishes Achiv, Eishes Ach. Shaloya Balamo, because that's right, that's one of the things that we said in the Mishnah that pothers from Yibum Chalitza. Vashnia, and the second one, meaning Shimon's wife, right, the original wife, Mishum Tarasa, right, that's her co-wife. Right, so Asaba Maimer, but if Shimon did not do Yibum, but he did Maimer, which we said is a Din Birabana, which is to kind of like say that he's going to marry her before he does Yibam. That's something Darabanan, which Chazal instituted, but meaning he didn't actually get to do Yibam. So then, in that case, and then Umeis, and then he dies, so then Shnia Cholet says, Velo Mizya Bama. So then, the second one, meaning Shimon's wife, right, she does Chalitza, she does not do Yibam. She, again, Midar Raisa, she's not a Tzara of Reuven's wife, because, again, Shimon didn't do Yibum, but since there was this connection, Derabanan of Maimer, so we're going to make sure, we're going to institute that he does Chalitza, that Levi does Chalitza. Okay, that's the case, a little bit confusing, but again, if you can get it back, get it solid in your head, then this Gemara will be a lot easier. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Man detani rishona lo mishtavish. Man detani shnia lo mishtavish. Apparently, there are two different versions of the Mishnah. Well, the Mishnah says Rishona, again, we talk about Reuven's wife being the Rishona, and then there's another text, apparently, that says Reuven's wife is the Shnia, meaning we're both referring to Reuven's wife when we say that she go. That's the case of Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. Right? That's again Levi trying to marry Reuven's wife after you know being married to Shimon, right, and then doing Yibum. So that is out. That's one of the things we mentioned in the first Mishnah of Masechta. But the Mishnah apparently here, our Mishnah calls it Rishona, and our Mishnah second, and another text calls her the Shnia. And Rav Nachman says that either way, it's still referring to Reuven's wife. Mandatani Rishona lo Mishtabes. The first one who called it the first one didn't make a mistake because my Rishona lo Nefila. What was she first for? She was the first one, right? For there we have two women here. You have Reuven's wife and Shimon's wife. So Reuven's wife was the first one to end up in Yibum. So she's the first. And the second one, the one who said that she's the second is also not mistaken because my Shnia the Nisuan, because she is the second one that Shimon married. Right? Shimon married, right, obviously his own wife, and then he married Reuven's wife right after he passed away. So Gemara says, Milo Eskinan, Diibim Vachakach Kanas. Right? Isn't that a case where Shimon right, married Reuven's wife? And Yibum, and then married his wife. Meaning, how do you know? Maybe Shimon did Yibum and then married a different woman, right? How do you know that Shimon was already married when he did Yibum to Reuven's wife? So how do you know that she married Shimon second? So Elamai Shnia Shnei LeNisuin. So the Gemara says, no. What it means when it says that Reuven's wife is the Shnia, is the second one, means she got married twice. She married Reuven, and then she married Shimon. Okay, now Eishes Achiv. Now here's the meat and potatoes of this topic. Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo Heicha Ksiva. How do you know that Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo cannot be married in Yibum? Right, again, normally, right, Reuven and Shimon. Normal case: if Reuven passes away without kids, Shimon does Yibum, right, on Reuven's wife. Why does Levi, who is not alive at the time, why doesn't Levi do Yibum? Why does that? Seems to be again. If you would have asked me, I would have been like, yeah, what's the difference whether Levi is alive when Reuven is alive or not? Who cares? So how do you know that's true? So the Pasuk says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Amar Rav Kar, the Pasuk says, Ki Yeshvu Achim Yachdav. That's the Pasuk talking about the beginning of Yibum, right? The whole topic in Yibum. It says, when brothers live together. They must have been together at some point. So therefore, if they weren't, that will exclude a brother who is not alive, right, from this whole concept of Yibum. Yachdav, what does that teach me? Right? Yuchad Menachla. Again, that they have to be together in Nachla, in inheriting. Prad Achiv Menaim. So that excludes, right, a brother from the mother. Again, what that basically says, as we mentioned several times before, is that Yibum is through the father. When we talk about brothers, we're talking about paternal fathers. This is this pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda darshins, that they have to be together, meaning they have to inherit together. Therefore, we're talking about brothers from the father. If it's a brother, half-brothers or whatever it is, a brothers from the mother, that does not count. We're talking about paternal brothers. Rabba Amar Rabba says, Achim mina av, yolif achva achva b'nei Yaakov. Right? I can teach this from the Exer Shava, because achva from the sons of Yaakov. Malaholam mina av, below mina aim, right? Afkan, mina av, below mina aim. So too, over here, right? Again, you can have that Exer Shava, right? The word ach, ki yeshu achim yachdov, right? That says over here by Yibum. And then, shnemasar anachnu, b'nei avinu. Shnei Masar Anachnu Achim Bnei Avinu. That's the Pasuk Rashi quotes. So he says, has the word Achim by Yaakov's kids, and over here by Yibum. And just like obviously Yaakov's kids had different mothers, so too, right? That's what we're talking about over here. The Gemara says, but the Pasuk says Achim somewhere else. Right? V'leilaf Achva Achva Me'arayos. The Pasuk says, by Arayos, right? Ervas Ishes Achicha Losegale, Ervas Achicha Hi. And again, that's the Gemara says, well, it says later that that's talking about, you know, anybody's brother's wife, even if your brother is from your mother. So you see by Arayos that your brother's wife is usher to you, even if she's a brother from the mother. So how do you know that we should learn it from Yaakov? Maybe we should learn it from here. And even you could do Yibum through your brother from your mother's, from your mother. So the Gemara says, Danim Achim Yachim, Vein Danim Achim Yachicho. Because over here, the Pasuk says, Ki Yeshvu Achim Yachdav, right? When brothers live together. And by Yaakov also, the Pasuk was Achim, was Shnemasar Anachnu Achim Bnei Yaakov. But over there, it says Achicha. So that's not exactly the same words. Therefore, you're not going to learn one to the next. The Gemara says, Ma'naf Kamina. What do you mean? You need to have the same exact word when you learn Exer Shava. Right? The classic case that the Gemara always quotes, V'tanad Be'er Yishmael, V'shava Kohen U'ba Kohen. Right? Zui Shiva Zui Bia. The Pasuk says, right, basically the concept of this is a completely different context, but this is what the Gemara quotes all the time when it points out that Gzera Shava doesn't have to be the same word. It says that we learn Vishavan and Uba. We learn a connection between the Kohen coming to check out a house for Tzaras. He could come a couple of times. The first time he comes, the Pasuk says Vishav. The second time he comes, Kohen says Uba. So we learn that the halachos apply the same to both coming. So that's Vishav Uba. Right? Those are not the same words. Right? But yet we have Gzera Shava to teach me that the halachos are the same. So you don't need the same words to teach Gzera Shava. Skomar says, yeah, okay, but honey, mili heichad lekamidi d'damila. Well, that's only if you have no other option that's similar. Here you have two choices. You have achim to achim or achim to achicha. So obviously you're going to choose the one that's exact. Right? Aval heichad ika midi d'damila. Right, so that the damile to then be the damile yalfina. Okay, fine. Then you'll use the one that's exact. Okay, but we still have another one. V'leilaf achva milot. Right, what about lot? Right, the pasuk says ki anashim achim anachnu. Right, we are brothers. Yaakov says, Avram says to Lot, and obviously they were uncle and nephew. Skamar says, no, Mistavra, Mibnei Yaakov, Avalei Lemelef. No, it makes more sense to learn the Gzera Shava from Yaakov. Mishum Demufni, because it's available, because it's open. Right? The Havalei Lemichtav, Shnimasar Avadecha Bnei Avinu. Because the Pasuk could have just said, right, we're 12 of your servants. Right? Again, they're talking to Yosef, right? We're 12 servants. Uksiv Achim, right? It says brothers, right? You don't need to tell me that they're brothers. Bnei Avinu, the Pasuk already says that we're sons of our father. So once it says Achim, so then Shmai Minalefni, apparently that is open and available. Ve'itzrich lemichtav achim, ve'itzrich lemichtav lemichtav yachtav. And we need both of these. That it's again, we kind of used achim and yachtav to teach me that they come together, right? We said that a yachtav, Rabbi Yehuda said, is they have to be inherit. They have to inherit, right? And then Rabba said that they have this achim, achva, right? Achim, right? From here and by Yibum and by Yaakov, that also teaches me it comes from the father. So why do you need both? So the Gemara says you need both. If you would only have this Gzer Shava Achim from Yaakov, you might have thought that, no, maybe you should learn it from Lot. If you'll tell me, well, that it's not open, it's not available, No. It is available. Because you could have said that that Avram and Lot were Reim. Uksiv Achim, but it says Achim, but they're brothers. Meaning, obviously, Avram and Lot were not brothers. They were related. So why does it say Achim? So Shema Mina Lafnuya, because that pasuk is available. So therefore, Kasav Achmana Yachtov. Therefore, the Torah said Yachtov. That he also has to be shayach to inherit, and they have to line up inheritance by their father. Because of Rachmana Yachtov, and if you only would have had the word Yachtov, so Havamina, you might have thought, right, the Miyachte me Ba'aba Uva'ima, that maybe that means that you need to have both. Right, that you need to have both the mother and the father. I mean, you can not only through the father, but it can be you have to be related to the brother from the mother and the father. So therefore, tzricha, therefore you have the gzera shava to Yaakov to teach me that no, it's only through the father, and even though they had different mothers, right, that is still fine. Right, that is still okay for Yibam. The Gemara says v'mehechetesi. But okay, but why would you think that achim mean that brothers mean that achim the word means that you have to be brothers from your mother and your father, right? Yibum ben achlat v'las rachmano. If you tell me it's yachtov that they have to inherit together, right? So that tells me it's from the father. What does the mother have to do with anything? Right? Where did the mother come from? Gemara says no. Itzvich. No, you need this to teach me, because you might have thought hold the chiddushu. Since it's a chiddush, the whole concept that you can do yibum is a chiddush. Now, what is a chiddush? Obviously, chiddush obviously means something new. So what does that mean? What isn't everything a chiddush? Isn't keeping Shabbos a chiddush? Isn't tzitzis a chiddush? So a chiddush is something that goes against the normal law as set up by the Torah, right? On the one hand, you have an issur of eshesach; you're not allowed to marry your brother's wife. On the other hand, you have a mitzvah of yibum. So that's a chiddush. That's something that goes against the norm that what the Torah has already told us. So since yibum is a chiddush, dikamishtari erva gave, because it's allowing you to marry an erva. So ima admi yachte ba'ava v'ima. You might have thought, but it has to be through the father and the mother. Again, because meaning only they did yibum only for a relative who's shaykh to, the closest relative. Right, so therefore, Again, if the whole point is, you know, l'hakim shem la'aviv, la'achiv, right, so that you might have thought that you need a real serious close relationship, if the whole point is to continue the lineage, right, you have to be maybe completely, you know, descended from both lineages. So therefore you need to tell me that it has to be from the father and does not need to be from the mother. Okay, let's hold it here only because, you know, that's really kind of far from the end, but that's, yeah, okay, that's going to go on to the next Amud, and we'll hold it here. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.